There are all kinds of families and homes. Some families and homes are big, some are small. Some people in those families are very close, some aren't. Some homes are loud, some are very quiet. Even in this room, each person has a unique family. If you are married, you also know that the family where you grew up was also unique and different from the family that you have now. Today we're going to look at the family of a man who was guided by his feelings, but not by God's wisdom. He didn't have access to God's word, so we're not just blaming him that he had all the access to God's word that we have now. He actually, the Old Testament hadn't been written. He only had a promise from God that he was going to be with him. Needless to say, things that we do without God's principle do not go very well. As we examine Jacob's family's life, I would like to point out some things that have been given to us in God's word that we can promote or encourage in our own households in order to improve our own family relationships. So let's turn in our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 29, and we're going to start in verse 30. And before continuing, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will bless each one of the families here as we look at these verses. Please bless all the men as the leaders of the household and their wives, Lord. We also thank you for the opportunity that you let us look at this family, Lord, and the opportunity that you let us to learn from your word and what you have given to us. I pray that you will help us to act in a wise manner, and that as we thank today that we may avoid needless pain, Lord. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in chapter 29, we have Jacob leaving his father and mother in order to find a wife among the people of the east, where his relatives were from, where his ancestors were from. It wasn't that the people of the east were more spiritual or better people than the people in Canaan, or because they all were idolaters, all the people had departed from God, but they were probably not as polluted with pagan practices as the people of Canaan were. If you think, if we just go with what the Bible has given us, 100 years before Jacob went to Haran, Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed already in the land of Canaan. So it was important for Jacob to go there to get a wife. And the way that God worked it out, it was through Jacob's deception. Jacob had deceived his father to steal the blessing he was planning to give his older brother, Esau. And that, of course, upset Esau tremendously to the point where he said, "As soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill him." And so basically Jacob had to flee almost in a hurry, just with whatever he was wearing. Since he had neither money nor presents, in order to get a wife from his uncle, he decided to work for him for 7 years for the younger of his two daughters, Rachel. However, this time he was going to be tricked, just as he had tricked his father, pretending to be the oldest. This time he was given the oldest sister. And as I told you last week, I believe that the wisest thing for Jacob would have been to just take Leah and go back to Canaan without marrying Rachel. But he was following his feelings and the desires of his father-in-law also. So he married Rachel 1 week after he had married Leah. And when we don't have the wisdom of God's word, we are very vulnerable to make wrong decisions in life, regardless of our age. And here we're talking about a man that you would think he's around 50 years old, he should be old enough to make wise decisions. Well, he still decided to marry two women. And he might have said, "Well, my brother Esau has two wives, so why can't I have two wives?" I'm not sure he knew about the third one yet, but but it was a common practice. However, it's not the wisest thing, especially when you look at the design that God has given for men and women. so 7 years after he arrived, after he fled from his brother, he's starting his own family. One man, two wives, and two maid servants. As we take a look at this family, I want to put forward some virtues that we should encourage in our own homes. And so basically I'm going to talk about living in wisdom. I'm not saying that Jacob's living wisdom according to the Word of God, but since we have the Word of God, we can see what we can do in order for us to live in wisdom. The first one is promote love for everyone. Love is very important. Jacob's household became a place where there was love for Rachel, but there was also hatred. Leah was unloved. When we read in our verses that Leah was unloved, the Hebrew word is not unloved, it's hated. And verse 30. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved or hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And I like the way that people, the syntactical, semantical construction of the Hebrew comparisons is basically you have a scale, and the scale of love, to see who has more love, you have Leah and Rachel. And in the Hebrew, you can see that Jacob had more love for Rachel from the love of Leah. So if in the scale he is Leah's love, which was very little, the love of Jacob for Rachel was much higher. And he is going to serve Laban another 7 years for Rachel. But he already served 7 years for Rachel. So he's actually serving 14 years for Rachel, 0 years for Leah. And Jacob himself had come from a household where there was favoritism. And the result of this was bitter rivalry among those two brothers, between Esau and Jacob. And the favoritism that divided Isaac and Rebekah and their boys now is going to tear apart Jacob's family. We're going to see in this chapter that there is going to be great rivalry between Rachel and her son and the other mothers with their other 10 children. When you have a family like this, the brothers who are growing together, you have a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, they don't feel like brothers. It's just like in David's family. David had several wives before he became a king. And even while he was a king, and he had Amnon and Absalom and Adonijah and all these, and they were, and Tamar, they were all brothers and sisters, but they hated each other. They were trying to fight who was going to be the next one after the great King David. They one killed, they committed murder, there were all these other things as a result of this favoritism in the family. Leah was the most hurt in this situation. She was stuck. She couldn't get out of this situation. Jacob hated her. Rachel, of course, now that they are sharing a husband, is not best friends with her sister. She didn't want her around sharing her husband. And of course, Jacob is willing to work 14 years for Rachel, just to show his love for Rachel. And the other thing that we see in this verse is that Jacob didn't care about showing love to Leah. He made it very clear he loved Rachel. And Leah is stuck in this situation. She can not just walk out of this situation. She was given by her father, her very greedy father. One man and two women does not work. It didn't work then, it doesn't work now. Here in this society we don't have that problem of a man trying to take two women, but God, the way that He wired women, He wired them to be zealous, He wired them to nurture and to care for their spouse and their children, and taking care of their households. An application might be when a son gets married. The mothers need to learn to release their sons when they get married. They will no longer be the primary womanly care provider for their sons. The care of that man will belong to the wife. He will have to, well, she will try to take care of that, and then just, I don't know, that's all I said. We need to make sure we're giving love to everybody in our household. Something that we want to learn from these, from Isaac's family, there were rivalries because of favoritism. Now we're talking about Jacob's family. He has a favorite wife. He's despising Leah. The second thing I want to share is that we need to promote kindness. Jacob's household was a place where God had to intervene in favor of people who were afflicted or in distress. Since Leah was in a very awful situation, she was afflicted. God had to intervene to encourage Leah, to favor Leah. Basically, he was gracious. God had gracious love for Leah. He didn't just leave Leah alone, but he provided for her needs. So because he saw that Leah was unloved, verse 31, he opened her womb. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called the name of the son, see, a son, or Reuben. Everyone look, a son. Because she said, the Lord, which is Yahweh, has surely looked on my afflictions. Therefore my husband will love me. God blessed the least favored spouse with something that the favored spouse could not obtain. God was gracious to Leah, and God was meeting Leah's needs. This time, instead of having wives who were not able to conceive like Abraham and Isaac, Jacob starts having children right away. Remember that God gave a promise to Abraham, and they waited 25 years, no kids. And finally, after 30 years, Isaac was born. And in the meantime, they made mistakes, and Sarah gave his maidservant to Abraham, and they got Ishmael. The same with Isaac. Isaac said, oh, we have the promise to become a great nation. And 1 year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, 20 years go by, and Rebekah has no children. Then Isaac prays to God, and what about the promise? And then she has twins, and that's it. Now Jacob gets married. He has the promise, but this time God is building the great nation right away. Probably the first year, Leah gets the first child that he calls, look, a son. God saw me, and because I gave a son, now my husband is going to love me. God is the protector and the deliverer of the afflicted. As we promote kindness, in Proverbs 14:21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. God wants us to do the same. Here, God is taking care of the afflicted Leah. When God saved Israel from Egypt, the people of Egypt were being oppressed, and God listened to their affliction, and he became the protector, you know, of the afflicted, the deliverer of the afflicted. And he wants us to do the same. People who are around us, we're not going to, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, we will always have poor people. The poor will always be there. And he said that when he was going to be anointed. But I will not always be with you. But with the people that we have around that are poor, he says, he who has mercy on the poor, he is happy. Isaiah 58. Is this not the path that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens? Well, what are those burdens? Let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? And I think that when your relatives are in trouble, don't hide from them. The Lord Jesus Christ mentioned something similar in the New Testament. He separates people, or some people say nations, but he explains, when I was hungry, and you gave me food, thirsty, and you gave me a drink, stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And at the end, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. As much as we can, we need to remember that God helps the afflicted. God is helping here, Leah. And if God gives us opportunity, we're not called to solve all the problems of the afflicted in the world. And there are some problems that we cannot do it. We cannot make Leah have children. Jacob couldn't make Rachel have children. God, that's God's work. But if He gives us opportunity to do it, we should take advantage and do it. So, in this chapter, God is going to see. God looked on my affliction and gave Leah a child. But in this chapter, also God also hears. Verse 33, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved. So, even though her desire was that I have Reuben, now my husband is going to love me, it didn't happen. So now she goes through another pregnancy. And she has another boy. And he said, the Lord has heard me that I am still unloved. And this is her second year of marriage. And he has therefore given me a son. And she called the name of this son Shimon or Simeon. As we know it, it's the same name, and it means God hears. So let me go over the children of Leah. The first one is, see, a son. Everybody look, a son. That's an imperative. Ru and Ben is son. The second one is heard. Everybody hear what is happening. The third one is, she conceived again, verse 34, and she bore another son. And she said, now this time my husband will become attached to me. He's going to join me this time. Okay, the third time. I mean, if I have three kids, maybe he will love me. This is, and think about it. I know it takes 9 months for conception, but usually a woman doesn't have a baby and then gets pregnant again. So it's probably a year for each one of these kids. So this is her third year of marriage, and still her husband doesn't love her. So her hope is that maybe my husband will join me. And Levi means join. Interestingly enough, it's the tribe of Levi that God chose a descendant of Leah to be the priestly tribe, the ones that were going to join God in worship. They were going to be joined in worship with God. So, maybe he'll become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. And then she conceived one more, Judah. This is the first time. The first 2 names are focused on her feelings of the situation. They are just describing how she feels. Now, the fourth one, she's taking away the look from herself, and now she's looking at God. I guess I'm blessed. Even if my husband doesn't love me, I'm going to still praise God because now I have 4 kids. And she named that child Judah. Judah comes from the word Yada in the Old Testament, which means praise. The word Yada sometimes is translated praise, sometimes it's translated confess, sometimes give thanks, like give thanks with a thankful heart, or thank. The primary meaning of the word is to confess. You can confess personal sin or national sin. You can confess God's attributes and His works. God is omnipotent. God is the provider. God watches over me. Or you can even praise man's abilities or his works. But it is never used in the word that we use. We say thank, like, thank you for helping me, or thank you for doing that. When we give thanks, thanks is not an appropriate rendering of this word. When we praise God, at least in the Old Testament, what we do is we confess who He is and what He does. Instead of thanking God for our food, we can praise Him for being our provider. Instead of thanking Him for keeping us safe, in the Old Testament you would praise God for being our protector. instead of thanking Him for giving us health, you praise God for being our healer. Thank you, Lord, for being my doctor or my healer. So, I don't have that verse there. But we need to promote kindness among people in our family as well about those who are afflicting around us. So promote love in your family as much as you can. No favoritism. Promote kindness. And then promote peace and harmony. Jacob's household was a place where there was envy, despair, anger, bitter competition, fighting, and depression. Verse 1 in chapter 30. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Now you have the beautiful, loved wife changing places with the afflicted wife. Now you would think, oh, she's beautiful, her husband loves her, there are no problems for her, she has the best of this world. Well, guess what? She's envious of her sister. And she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Her affliction was to the point where she was quite depressed to say something like this. She was actually, the word there, give me children, is give me sons, not just children, but give me sons or I'm going to die. I want to give you a son-in-law just like my sister. And what did that create? Did Jacob love her more? Verse 2. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. Now you have the loving husband upset at that wife. It's like, what's wrong with you? Have I taken God's place that I will withheld from you the fruit of the womb? So she said, I have a plan. I heard of this before. Here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her and she will bear a child on my knees that I also might have children by her. So surrogate motherhood. Some kind of surrogate motherhood. So she gave him Bilhah as his wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God has judged my case, He has also heard my voice and given me a son. And he called him Dan, which means judge. So Rachel felt that she was, things weren't fair. Her sister was having children, she wasn't. But by having this son Dan, she felt that she was vindicated. Okay, now God is taking on my case, He's judging, and He now is on my side. And she felt that God was agreeing with her. Can we say that God was agreeing with her? She didn't have direct revelation from God saying that. Was God pleased that she gave Bilhah to her husband? Most likely no. This is not the wife way to live. And God doesn't condemn them because He hasn't given any instructions. But now from the New Testament we can look back and like, wow, this was very unwise for them to do. Why are they doing all these things? Things are getting worse and worse. So then Bilhah had a second son. His name was Naphtali. Rachel said, Rachel met Bilhah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings, and the word great actually is God, with the wrestlings of God, I have wrestled with my sister. And indeed I have prevailed. And that word prevail is, I am able. It's not a strong word where she just overcame and destroyed completely the opposition. This is basically, this word is, I am able to do it. It's the same word used with Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. It's not that Jacob was super strong and destroyed God's angel, which most likely was the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate at Christophany. But he was able to just barely make it. And this is what Rachel, she felt that she was getting the upper hand over her sister now. So I wrestled this big battle and I'm prevailing. So she called the name of that my struggle or my wrestling that I'm winning. Finally, I'm able to wrestle my sister. So promote love, promote kindness, promote peace, and promote joy in God's work on your behalf. What was happening here? Jacob's household was a place where people rejoice in human accomplishments without giving recognition to God. It was what they were able to do and not what God did. When Leah saw that she stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her name, her maid, and she gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Leah actually was quite happy to do this, as we're going to see in the following verses. And of course she also had a child, and she called that child Gad, which means truth. And when she said, a truth comes, so she called the name Gad. Some of your Bibles might have a note there that it means fortune. The literal meaning of the word is truth, and basically has the idea that if your city is under siege and then you hear that a troop is coming to help you, it's a time to rejoice. Yes, we have good fortune. Or maybe Leah was thinking, oh, another child. Now we're going to be able to get a whole troop from this servant. So a troop is coming. Yes, go, Zilpah, go. And then she had another boy, and he named that Asher. Asher means happy or blessed. Then verse 13, then Leah said, I am Asher, for the daughters will call me Asher. So she called his name Asher. The Hebrew word blessed in the Bible, there are two different Hebrew words for the word blessed. There is one that is similar to the word in the New Testament grace. It's only what God gives. The Hebrew word for that word blessed is barak. The Greek is eulogetos, to give a good word. And usually the subject of that word is God blessing people. God bless Jacob. God bless Abraham. That's barak. And whether they deserve it or not, that's another thing you're going to notice with this word. Did Abraham deserve to be called and be blessed and be rich after he lied about his wife and all that? Probably not. Did Jacob deserve to be blessed as he's going to be blessed by God? Probably not, but God is blessing him. It's just God pouring out his goodness upon people. Also it's used when people say, let my soul bless the Lord. That's also this word barak. And it's like a benediction. The other word, the one that we have here, is asher, happy. And that is a state in comparison to other people. In Hebrew, asher, Greek is the word makarios. It's also similar to the Latin word felix. And God never uses that word. We never see God ushering anyone, making anyone happy. He blesses, but he doesn't usher. It's used in Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man. Oh, I'll show you that one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That blessed is not something that God is giving. It's the happiness of that man compared to other men. Basically, the happiness that comes from living in a wise manner. And let me go back to that explanation of how there it is. The happy state is using Psalm 1, it's using the Beatitude. Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek for there is the kingdom of heaven. James 5:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Usually, with this happy state compared to other men, man has to do something to be happy. And instead of being a blessing, a benediction, it's like a congratulations. Congratulations that you never walked in the path of godly. That you didn't stood in the path of sinners or sat in the seat of the scornful. Here is also the same word, asher. Blessed, happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. the forgiveness comes from God, but it comes from those who trust in God. Not every man has his sins forgiven. But when you compare different men, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. So that's what asher means. When you think about asher, how important it is to live in wisdom. Promote love in your family, promote kindness, promote peace, promote joy in God's work. It is here the people, Zilpah and Leah, actually Leah was rejoicing that giving her maid was working out. Hey, this is working. I'm happy. A troop is coming. I'm happy about this next baby. All the people will call me blessed because I'm having these children, even though she wasn't. And as we've seen, I don't think it was God's will for Jacob to have that many wives. So they are rejoicing in what they were able to do and get away and defeat her sister and be mean to her sister so that she could have her husband back. Now promote patience and total dependence of God. Not only from my... So when we think about our families, we need to understand that the good things that happen in our families, even though it might be human accomplishments, okay, God gave us a good job, God has provided all these things, we need to recognize that the ultimate source of that joy is God. And this next point, promote patience and the dependence of God, is that the first thing you do when you have a need, you go in prayer to God and tell God what you need and what you want and what you would like and what you really want to happen. The first thing you do, go to God and tell Him. And God might say, wait, and then you have to promote patience with total dependence of God. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. What it means is the first step you take is, God, you are my protector, you are my provider, you are my shield. I trust in you, and I'm going to wait to see what you can do. At the same time, you can do other things, and if you want, you can prosper them. Now, Reuben, who was about 7 or 8 years old, and we say that one of these kids was born each year, he went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, please, give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he'll lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. That's a mandrake. You want to see it a little better? Mandrakes are plants that produce globular, succulent orange to red berries, resembling small tomatoes which ripen in late spring. All parts of the mandrake plant are poisonous, and the plant grows natively, in southern and central Europe and in the lands around the Mediterranean Sea. Because mandrakes contain delirium hallucinogenic trophine alkaloids such as ethan and hallucinogenic drug, it causes them to the roots sometimes contain bifurcations, causing them to resemble human figures. The roots have long been used in magic rituals. There are classical Hebrew Jewish commentators who suggest that mandrakes help barren women to conceive a child. We don't know if they believed that at that time, but you're going to see that after these mandrakes, someone gets pregnant. And you also see the great desire that Rachel had to have those mandrakes. The mandrake word in Hebrew is dudaim, which means the love plant or the love apple. So even the way that it's labeled is called the love apple. So people really thought that if you ate them and you couldn't have children, then you would be able to have children. It has not been proved scientifically. What it has been proved is that it's a hallucinogenic plant. But But people believe that. It is using here, and it's also using the book of Solomon when they are talking about love. Most interpreters hold that it is this plant, the one intended in Genesis 30:14, the love plant, and a number of other plants have been suggested, like brambleberries, the cedar of the Atlas, the banana, the lily, the citron, and the fig. But none of those renderings are supported by satisfactory evidence. So we think it was this plant. And Lee and Rachel might have thought that they could get pregnant if they ate those mandrakes. So Jacob's household was a place where people didn't seek God first. When they had a chance to get a mandrake, they got the mandrake instead of praying and said, God, would you give me a child? What did Isaac do? Isaac prayed for Rebecca so that she could conceive, and it happened. But instead, here we have not seen one place where neither Leah or Rachel pray, or Jacob himself do. Basically, they are just living without wisdom. God is blessing them, but without any spiritual insight. And it seems also that Rachel was living, no, that Jacob was living in Rachel's tent. The way that Leah felt, even after these 7 years, she felt that Rachel had stolen her husband. It was my husband first. And is it a small matter to you that you have taken away my husband, and now you want to take my son's mandrakes also? So Jacob went, and that night Leah hired Jacob. She had to hire her husband to come and spend the night with her in her tent. So when Jacob came out of the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son mandrakes." And he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband." Now Leah is thinking that she's pregnant, maybe not because of the mandrakes, but because she had given Zilpah to her husband. I mean, they don't have the revelation that we have, but she's actually thinking that she's being blessed because of what she did, which was giving her maid to her husband, and therefore I am getting pregnant. She thought maybe she made him a favor. She was very She was very generous offering her maid to Jacob, and maybe God liked that, and now she's getting her pregnant. Now we know that God's blessing do not come because of something we do or we don't do. That's not how God bless you. That's not what salvation came to you. Salvation came to you because God made it available to you out of His goodness, not because there must have been something good. With God, nothing comes from God. Because something comes from God. That's the idea. So God's blessing comes because God wants to give them out of His goodness to undeserving creatures. How did you get life? Did you really pray in your mother's womb, "Please, Laura, I'm here. Please give me life. I want to live." No, God just gave you life. Does God take away your life when you sin? No, He gives you life. The extra blessings that we seem to get sometimes, they are the result of reaping what we have sown. When we say that what you sow, that's what you reap, that comes from living in a wise life, in a wise manner. But the blessings from God, that like He's giving Jacob here, Jacob is not doing anything and God is just blessing him. That's what God is doing. So Leah had this boy that she named Issachar, that it was her reward, because she really thought that she had been very generous giving Zilpah. She said, "This is my reward for what I did to my husband. Now I'm getting pregnant." And then she had another boy named Zabulon, and she said, "My husband is going to honor me because of what I have done. I gave him 6 kids now. He has to honor me. He will honor me for that." My husband, oh, verse 20, and Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment, New King James. Now my husband will dwell with me. And King James has dwelled with me, and Ashley has dwelled with me. But the word dwell there is probably the word honor. My husband will honor me. And it has to do with a dwelling that is like the dwelling of God. It's a very majestic dwelling. When Solomon built the temple, it was a majestic dwelling that he built for God. So now my husband, it's an honorable place. And he said, I have borne him 6 sons, so he will honor me. So she had Zabulon, and then she had a daughter, Dinah. I guess in English it's Dinah. Dinah is the same name as Dan, it's just feminine. Dinah, and it also means judgment. Now, first Rachel felt that God was vindicating her, that God was in her side. Now, Leah feels God is in my side, and he has given me judgment. He has given me a daughter. So, love in your family, be kind, promote peace, promote joy, promote patience, and the last thing is promote goodness. Acknowledge God's works on your behalf. When something good happens in your life, you need to acknowledge that it was God who did it. That's called praising God. That when we talk about the word Judah, which means praise, it is not just saying thanks to God, but actually saying, God, you have done this great work for me. And God has provided for our meal today. God has provided protection in our trip today. God has prospered our way when we went on this trip with such and such mission. God prospered. That's praising God. And that was happening in Jacob's family. That, nevertheless, verse 22, then God remembered Rachel. And God, now God is the one remembering. Here, notice that it's not the mandrakes that is bringing the blessing upon Rachel. That happened a year before. Actually, 2 years before. But now God remembered Rachel, because Rachel is now the afflicted one. Even though she was the beautiful and the loved one, now she's the afflicted one. And God listened to her, just like he listened to Leah. And he opened her womb. Now it's God's gracious love for Rachel too. So God loved Leah and God loved Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel. And she conceived and she bore a son, and she said, God hath taken away my reproach, which is a word like that sounds like Asaph. So it's a play on words. And she called his name Yosef, which means, or Joseph, which means, may the Lord add to me another son. She had Joseph, which means, may he add one more son or more sons. And then she had Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And then we're going to learn more about Benjamin later. But it is good to praise God. Here is Psalm 92:1, a song of the Sabbath day. This is a song to sing when we get together to worship God every week. It is good to give. The word thanks there is praise. It's the word Judah. It's word, the, related to the word Judah. It is good to praise, give praise to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is good to praise the Lord. If you're going to promote something at home, promote praising God. Sometimes we just, I mean, this is a song for the Sabbath. You can say, I come home and I come here and praise in the Sabbath. But you, it's something that you can promote in your home. Sing praises. This is actually singing with an instrument. And that's what we do on the Sabbath, or in this case we do on Sundays. We praise God, who is the Most High. And that's good. So, the spiritual life of Jacob and his wives was not what we could call an example of walking with God. When we look at this family, it is a special family. It is a blessed family. But it is not a family that is walking with God in a wise manner. As far as we know, both sisters were from Terah's family, and even while they were having all these children and recognizing God now and then, they were still worshiping idols.
a month or a year or a few months after Rachel has Joseph, she's going to steal her father's idols. So it's not that they were just worshiping God and that's why God was blessing them right and left. They did recognize the power of God to give life and the ability that God has to give children. And God is working also among those who do not honor Him the way that is the best way to honor Him. God was going to bring Jacob as well as his two wives to the true knowledge of God. And then later those idols are going to be destroyed by Jacob and by Rachel herself. And they are going to get to know the true God. And God revealed Himself to them later in a more thorough way. But He did it according to His purpose. And even if you look in your life before you were a Christian, God was working and blessing you, even though you didn't recognize Him, just like Jacob, you were just living your own life. Later, He revealed Himself to you. And He had a purpose with this family, and it was through this family that He decided to bring the Messiah. And it wasn't from the sons of Rachel, but it was from the sons of Leah. And the kingly line came from Leah, from Judah, from Praise. How did this happen? How long did this take? If we just take it straight through, it took 12 years from the first pregnancy to the birth of Joseph, which means Jacob finishes 14 years working for Rachel, and still 5 years went by, and there were 5 more kids born. If we want to squish them and say, well, maybe Rachel gave Bilhah to Jacob while Leah was having children. And so they were having children at the same time. The fastest that you can get it is 4 years and for those children. But then the smallest you can have is 10 years anyway. So here we have a span of at least 10 years, most likely 12, because of the way it's done. All these children were born. The other thing I want you to notice about my outline, what we're promoting here, what was missing in Jacob's family, were, think about it, love, kindness, peace, joy, patience, goodness. The fruit of Spirit. Now we have access to the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we need to promote in our homes. It is the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't put all of them because we only have 6 points today. But we have to promote the fruit of the Spirit in our home. It is the wise thing to do. We need to practice the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. And then as leaders, we need to encourage it in our homes. God is constantly pouring His blessings on you. You have life. You're breathing. You have health. You have many other blessings. Learn to live wisely so that you can enjoy them to the fullest. So that you can be a blessed man, not only in the Barak way where God blesses you, but in the Asher way where you have taken the necessary steps to live a happy life because you have followed the way of wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time that You allow us to meditate on Your word. Thank You for how You use the family of Jacob, regardless of the different mistakes that were done in their lives, Lord. And You were able to bring from that family the best good ever, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought salvation not only for their family, but for the whole world. And we thank You for that You can bring from the worst situations the best, Lord. And we know that whatever situation we're going through, Lord, that we might think, oh, this is the worst thing that could have happened to me or to us, we know that You can turn it into good, Lord, and we praise You for that. I pray that You will help us and teach us to praise You, that You will help us to live by the way of wisdom, Lord. We thank You for Your word that can guide us into that path. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.